Hi, this is Tom from The Happiness Quotient. Thank you for clicking on this episode. If you've chosen to listen to some of my first episodes, 60 or so, they were created before I changed the name to The Happiness Quotient. Don't be confused if you hear my voice welcoming you to Baker Street with Tom Pollard, or if you hear me referencing my YouTube channel, Everest Mystery, you're still in the right place. Until I'm a big star and can hire an editor and producer to change every episode to reflect the platform, my gut tells me you'll be okay with hearing Baker Street or Everest Mystery when you click on an episode to The Happiness Quotient. It's all me. So let's just consider us one big happy family where we all learn together, brought here by our common interests and our desire to create a better world, one episode at a time. I love you. Thank you. Now to the episode.
So, but they didn't care as well. So they went up. He was alive. They went up to the summit. They came down. He was dead. Nobody cared. Yeah. That was actually the bad thing, in my opinion.
Today, I bring you into the 2023 tragedy on K2 about the loss of an inexperienced high-altitude porter named Mohammed Hassan. I have an interview with a climber who witnessed dozens of people stepping over Hassan as he lay mortally injured at 8,200 meters. Willie Steindl was climbing with Furttenbach Adventures, one of several teams that turned around during their summit bid. After witnessing avalanches up high, they determined that conditions were far too dangerous. And while the team weighed their decision on turning around, Steindl's cameraman, Philip Fleming, filmed by the use of his drone, it revealed over 70 people climbing over Mohammed Hassan as he lay dying. Nobody rendered aid. There was no rescue attempted. And by the time the climbers returned from their summit bids and their successful summits, Hassan's lifeless body was there. Before my interview with Willie Steindl, I'm going to give you some background on this story, which reveals the gaping chasm between commercial mountaineers and peak baggers of today versus the old school climbers of earlier generations who climbed as a team and would do anything to save the life of a team member. So here's the story. On July 26th, about 150 people were in Camp 3 waiting for their chance to get to the top of the mountain. A storm had been predicted to arrive a couple of days later, but it did not ever really arrive. In their minds, the climbers had only a brief window to summit. It was now or never to get to the top. Hassan had been assigned to work with the rope-fixing team, who were essentially blazing a trail with all the other summit teams following behind them as they fixed the lines. At about 2:15 a.m. on the morning of July 27th, at about 8,200 meters, Hassan fell. He was clipped into the fixed lines. It was an extremely steep section of the mountain directly under a gigantic wall of ice. This is a section where people want to move as quickly as possible because one chunk of ice falling down would certainly kill any climber that was underneath it. Hassan fell. He was dangling about 15 feet below the fixed lines, or 5 meters below the lines, upside down, tangled into the ropes. People said that his stomach was exposed because he didn't have a down suit, so he was struggling, certainly, and immobilized because of being tangled and hanging upside down. First on the scene was Kristin Harla, the Norwegian climber, and her climbing partner and guide, Tenzin Lama Sherpa. They rendered aid to Hassan, tried to bring him up to the fixed lines. They were with him for well over an hour, perhaps up to 2 hours, giving him comfort. When they were assured that a rescue was coming, they felt it was okay to continue onward toward the summit, which they did. Their cameraman, Gabriel Tarso, stayed with Hassan for over 2.5 hours, sharing his own dwindling oxygen supply. In the hours that would follow, over 70 climbers stepped over Mohammed Hassan as he lay there struggling. It is reported that Hassan was literally reaching out and trying to grab people who were stepping over him. Obviously, he was in immense distress, hoping for someone or some people to rescue him or provide him with more oxygen. Now, it's unclear if anybody could have actually saved his life at such extreme altitudes. And perhaps climbers passing by were of the understanding that Hassan was being helped and that a rescue was on the way. Now, we have to remember that many of these climbers are paying clients who have very little experience in helping themselves, let alone arranging a rescue where they could move a body in such steep and dangerous conditions. I'm not saying that's an excuse necessarily, but many of these people might have been under that assumption that others were there or arriving soon to help Hassan. But the fact is, nobody attempted a rescue of Muhammad Hassan. He can be seen in the footage that he's being comforted by a single individual, but you can see people literally stepping over him. This tragic story is brought primarily to light because of drone footage that was being filmed that day by a cameraman, Philip Fleming, who was working with Willy Steindl, an Austrian climber. They saw the traffic jam up high and also noticed that there was some avalanches sweeping down the mountain. Their team made the very difficult decision to turn around and not go for the summit. In that time that they were making that decision, Philip Fleming raised up his drone and filmed for well over an hour. It was only after that that Steindl and Fleming reviewed the drone footage where they saw that Hassan was still alive and dozens of people were stepping over him on their way to the summit. Here's my conversation with Willy Steindl. So, Willy, tell me about K2. Can you just kind of walk me through what your experience was that morning or that evening when you left to go for the summit?
Yes, for sure. It was like we started at, I think, at 11:30. We started for our summit push from Camp 3 to summit. And I arrived at 2:30 in the morning on 27th of July, below the bottleneck. And in our expedition, we were talking about waiting together below bottleneck because we wanted to see the situation, because we knew the conditions are really difficult this year. We knew there is a lot of snow, so we wanted to see together how the conditions are, and then we wanted to go further. On approximately 8:01 to 8:02 below bottleneck, we wanted to go further because we saw a long line going up to the summit, and we saw, okay, the people are walking, so it's actually quite good. We can do it this day. And suddenly there was an avalanche going down next to the bottleneck, and it nearly hit a lot of people. So it was like 5 meters next to the people's line. And at this point, a lot of climbers turned around, or actually all Western expedition turned around at this point, because they also realized it's too dangerous. And also we decided to turn around. And on our way down in Camp 4, it's on 8,000, my cameraman Philip Fleming, he decided to make some drone shots because we were filming for Austrian TV documentation. And so he was flying for 1.5 hours with his drone, but he was not able to see anything because the screen on the remote control is really small, and you couldn't see anything on the remote control. It's just little points. We went down the whole mountain, and on the next day in the base camp, we just wanted to see those drone shots because we were curious about how the film will be and stuff like this. And suddenly we saw this guy still moving. You saw his friend and cousin who was rubbing him that he doesn't lose any warmth. And you could see all those people stepping over him and heading to the summit. And actually in this situation, you have to start a rescue mission at this point. So you need to bring it down as fast as possible, because otherwise there's no chance to save his life. It's not possible. You cannot think, I will give him oxygen, I give him warm water or something like that, and I just leave him there. No, you just need to bring him down at this moment. And he was still living. So we were really shocked because of those pictures that nobody started to bring him down. Mm-hmm. And it's easy, it's not easy, but it's possible to bring him down in this situation. So actually, that was the thing why we were so shocked in this moment.
So how many people do you estimate might have stepped over Hassan while he was still alive?
Yeah, you can see it on the drone footage. It's a little bit more than 70. It's like 73 people were like above him. Yeah. So, and he was with the fixed rope team. So he was in the front, you know, maybe there were five or six people in front of him. And afterwards he was, and then there was the whole line. And we counted 73 people passed to the summit.
An experience of watching that footage go can't happen without it changing you or without it making you look at the world differently. I don't know. Did it make you lose faith in humanity? Or, you know, I mean, I know it's a big question there, but
yeah, actually, there are also other things they really were bad, in my opinion. So, you know, people were celebrating in the base camp. They were having a party. They didn't even talk or think about the situation. We were like asking other climbers if they realized what's happening there. And they actually didn't give a shit on the situation. And now you read, now they want to defend themselves and say, yeah, we couldn't do anything, and we did everything we could do. But you just can see that nobody started a rescue attempt, and that's the only thing how you can help him. So what else? How can you help this guy? It's not possible. It's not possible to help him with this situation if you don't bring him down. And they didn't do it. Mm. So that's it. So, but they didn't care as well. So they went up. He was alive. They went up to the summit. They came down. He was dead. Nobody cared. Yeah. That was actually the bad thing, in my opinion.
Willie, you were so moved that you went and visited his family. Can you tell me real briefly about that and what that experience was like for you?
Yeah, that was really tough for me, because I need to explain you the situation. It was like when you go from K2 back to Ascoli, it's like 4 days walk. On the first day, we met a guy who is a friend of Mohammed Hassan. And this guy, he Pakistani, he's also from the same village. And he told us that the situation is really bad for the family. Because there are three children, three small children, and the wife, she is very poor and illiterate. Do you say illiterate? She didn't have any education, and she is not possible to do any work because it's not allowed for women to work in those villages. And also, he told us that the mother of Muhammad Hassan, he has diabetes, strong diabetes, and they can't afford medicine. They cannot afford even education for the children. That the situation is really bad. In my opinion, Western people did not do enough or did not do anything to save the life of this guy. And at least I wanted to show them that Western people are possible to help in this bad situation. So yeah, we decided to go there and try to help them. Yeah, it was even worse than we could have think about. So they were in a really poor situation, really poor. It was really shocking for me. I have never seen people living in those conditions. And so we tried to help. I had some cash money with me. I gave them everything. Yeah, she was telling us that it was the first time for her husband to go there. because he wanted to save some money, to earn more money and save some money for the education for the children. And he wanted to give the children a better life in a, with better conditions. And that was the reason why I wanted to do this risky work up the K2. I told them I will go home and start a fundraiser for them. And I try everything to help them to show our responsibility because nobody helped Hassan up there. We want to try to help them now.
Willy Steindl has started a GoFundMe page to help the family of Muhammad Hassan. The link to the GoFundMe page will be in the notes of this video. If you enjoyed this video, I hope you take a moment to subscribe to the channel and consider supporting me on Patreon or becoming a member of this channel. I'll put the link in the description of all the articles and videos that I utilized throughout this video. One thing that I wanted to share with you is I will be doing an interview with Angela Benavides of Explorers Web, who has been working diligently on a comprehensive article to explain everything that took place during the summit bid on K2 when Muhammad Hassan had lost his life. I will be interviewing her during this week, and I will be bringing that story to you as soon as possible. Thanks for being here. I appreciate you for watching. Do a good deed. Don't look for anything in return. Make the world a better place, one act at a time. Thanks for being here. Peace out, my friends. If you're still here, please, I would love it if you checked out my Patreon page. It's patreon.com/Everest Mystery and my YouTube channel, Everest Mystery. Check me out. And as always, leave comments and share your thoughts whenever you can, and share it with friends who might be interested in hearing or listening or watching. Thanks so much.